Hey everybody, this is Pastor James. Welcome back to our midweek Bible study. Today we are covering the beginning of chapter 12 as Solomon is continuing to give us many of his one-liner wise sayings concerning godly character and behavior. So let's read together Proverbs chapter 12. We'll start with verses 1 through 7 and then we'll talk about them. Solomon says, "To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. The Lord approves of those who are good, but he condemns those who plan wickedness. Wickedness never brings stability, but the godly have deep roots. A worthy wife is a crown for her husband, but a disgraceful woman is like cancer to his bones. The plans of the godly are just, the advice of the wicked is treacherous. The words of the wicked are like a murderous ambush, but the words of the godly saves lives. The wicked die and disappear, but the family of the godly stands firm." All right, well, it's pretty easy to see that the theme of this chapter so far is once again godly character and wickedness, as well as the consequences that accompany both of them. Now, because so many of these verses are similar, I'm not going to go through every one of them like we have in the past, but we're just going to cover some basic stuff. So he starts off this chapter talking about those who wish to learn. And if you wish to learn, you must love discipline. But what kind of discipline is Solomon talking about? Well, discipline can be a noun, it can be a verb, or it can be an adjective. And as a noun, it can be the punishment or training of someone to achieve certain behaviors. It could also mean a specific branch of study, as someone might specialize in a specific field for professional reasons. And as a verb, you can discipline someone by action. You can also discipline yourself in certain ways. And as an adjective, you can be disciplined in your actions. So the way you carry yourself. And what Solomon is saying is, to learn, you must love discipline. And I believe that Solomon speaks of discipline in noun, verb, and adjective form. You know, it's not just a matter of like punishment, but it's a matter of just being a disciplined person, receiving discipline, even giving discipline. And you must love discipline in general. You must appreciate being disciplined by people in authority over you. You must also love discipline in order to learn more about the subject that you're trying to achieve knowledge in, and you must be disciplined in your life in order to truly learn. And if you must love discipline in order to learn, then you would only be stupid to hate correction. Now, it sounds very simple to just say that, but it is a natural instinct for most people to resist being corrected. If you can swallow your pride and genuinely accept correction from others, you can grow far beyond your own ability and capability. You can become so much more physically, intellectually, and most importantly, spiritually, if you are willing to submit to other people, to willingly and thoughtfully acknowledge their criticisms over you, and the extra effort that you put forth to be a disciplined person can help you achieve so much more than just being you and being satisfied with who you are. Now, as we see that wickedness eventually brings about destruction and godliness brings about blessings, verse 4 is kind of an odd verse that's thrown into the mix as Solomon talks about a worthy wife being like a crown. And a wife can be a wonderful blessing or a curse, and a disgraceful woman is like cancer to the bones, according to Solomon. And I think that's important because it just rots away at you at the very core and foundation of who you are. If you are tied to someone who is disgraceful, who causes problems, it just chips and eats away at you over time. And that's what cancer does. Now, a wife has the ability to make life wonderful or miserable for her husband, so you should choose your wife wisely. Likewise, if you're a woman and you're listening to this today, I encourage you to choose your husband wisely as well, because a husband can be a wonderful blessing or a tremendous curse in your life. And sadly, a husband will affect the outcome of the children much more significantly than a woman can, because for whatever reason, fathers have so much more of an impact on their children than even mothers. Mothers are much more appreciated by their children, but if you look statistically, kids who grow up with fathers, it's 98% more sure that they graduate school, that they have degrees, that they go on to live decently successful lives with careers. And when you look at the prison population, I think it's a 90-something plus percentile of inmates incarcerated today grew up in fatherless homes. So the father has a tremendous impact in the home, and a husband, just like a wife, can be a blessing or a curse. So men, choose your wives carefully. Wives, choose your husbands carefully. And we'll just go on from there. So after verse 4, Solomon goes back to the simple actions of the godly and how it affects you personally and those around you. Now, verse 7 sums up the passage well, as it talks about the finality of the consequences of evil and godliness. Now, wicked people will die and disappear, but the family of the godly stands firm. There is generational blessings and curses that take place with our faithfulness or our rebellion against God. So as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, it says, "You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods." And listen to what he says. "I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me." So we see that sin is affected. The consequences of sin affects the children, the grandchildren, and even the great-grandchildren. That's a promise from God in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, verse 10 is the better verse, though. So pay attention to verse 10. It says, "But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands." So if you really care about your children today, the best blessing you can give them is to love God and obey his commands. If you will serve him and be faithful to him, he will reward you and your children and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren for generations to come. Now, we must have faith and believe that God will honor his promises, as it is very difficult to make decisions in a moment in time when we can't see what the Lord might possibly do in the distant future. But we have so many passages that reaffirm God's faithfulness to reward godly behavior and punish wicked behavior, and we have to cling to those verses. We have to cling to God's word, and we have to rely on that as we make our decisions in daily life. All right? Well, let's move on to verses 8 through 14 of chapter 12, and we'll probably finish up with these. So let's read 8 through 14. Solomon says, "A sensible person wins admiration, but a warped mind is despised. Better to be an ordinary person with a servant than to be self-important but have no food. The godly care for their animals, but the wicked are always cruel. A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. Thieves are jealous of each other's loot, but the godly are well-rooted and bear their own fruit. The wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escape such trouble. Wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings rewards." All right, so once again, we see that these verses are very much centered around godly character. What are some of the good qualities that Solomon mentions in this passage? Well, he talks about sensible, ordinary, godly, hard worker, and being wise. Now, these characteristics bring about things like admiration, service, care for property or animals, in particular in this passage, having plenty to eat, having roots and the fruits of your labor, avoiding trouble, and then you have the benefits and the blessings that come from godly behavior. Now, these principles give us an idea of the things that God wants to bestow on those that are faithful and obedient to him. When people live with godly character, how God has called them to, there are certain things that God bestows in our life in order to encourage that godly behavior. And so while the blessings and the rewards may not be a 100% guarantee in our lives, it's a pretty good principle that if we live according to God's word, that He will bless us and give things to us to encourage that godly behavior to continue on in our life, as well as helping other people bear witness to our godly character and then being rewarded for it in different ways. And that is a testimony to people who are witnessing that. So, in the same way, Solomon also talks about the opposite or the contrasting characteristics from godly behavior. And he lists things like having a warped mind, being self-important, wicked, senseless, and thievery. And the consequences of those characteristics are being despised, not having food, cruelty, chasing of fantasies, jealousy, and being trapped by our own words. Now, these verses all connect that Solomon is obviously promoting godly behavior and sharing the consequences that he has witnessed and can testify to, because Solomon has seen this in the course of his life. And as we talk about it, there are a couple of verses. Again, you know, most of these verses are kind of similar, but there's a couple that I really just want to call your attention to as we finish up today. The first one is verse 11, and I really feel like we need to talk about it because there's something to be said about hard work. We don't see that a lot today, and I think that's one of the things that there's a generational gap between our elderly people and then our young people who are coming through. You know, our elderly generations have been known for their hard work and, you know, their struggle in life and overcoming a lot of obstacles. And then our young kids that are coming through today aren't really known to be hard workers. And we see that in the workforce. We see that through statistics. We see that through a lot of different stuff that our younger generations coming through just aren't really keen on working. But there's something to be said about hard work. When you look at Scripture, hard work is always promoted as a characteristic of God. And, you know, as we talk about this, hard work is admirable. You know, when other people look at someone who works very hard, I've never met anyone who has witnessed another person who's worked extremely hard at something and then has been put off by their success. Typically, people who work very hard and receive a reward or receive the benefits of their hard work are celebrated not only by the people close to them, but really anyone who witnesses their hard work. People celebrate with other people who work hard and receive reward. That's justice. Like, we can kind of agree that if someone works really hard on something, they deserve a reward for that hard work. We can agree on that. What you find is that when people inherit a great deal and they didn't have to work extremely hard to get what they have, or if something just comes very naturally to somebody and they don't have to practice or work really hard to achieve it, people tend to be a little put off by that. And so Solomon, in this passage, seems to communicate that hard workers will always have what they need and expresses that, in this case, with plenty of food. So Solomon acknowledges that hard work is very important, that if you're willing to work hard, that you will basically have what you need. And he mentions food in this passage, that you'll have plenty of food. And food is important. If you can have food, you can work towards about anything else as long as you have food. If you really want to see people who are absolutely desperate, go and find people who are starving. Starving people will do about anything in order to get food and survive. That's whenever morality, just the common understanding of citizenship and caring for others just goes out the window. When people get hungry and they start starving, it becomes every man for himself and people really start to do some desperate things. But when you look at verse 11, the contrast statement is that the one who lacks sense will chase fantasies. And I thought this was really interesting because you may ask, like, well, what does that mean to chase fantasies? Like, that just sounds kind of weird. But if you think about the culture that we live in, One of the things that I've always tried to teach, especially as a youth pastor, and even now as a pastor, when I talk to other people who are raising children, and how important it is to be realistic with your kids. You know, there's so many people that, and schools do this, and teachers do this, and coaches do this, and we encourage kids, oh, follow your dreams, you know, dream big and follow your dreams. And that sounds great. And it's okay to encourage people to try to achieve their dreams, but we also have to be very realistic about dreams and fantasies and understanding the probability of certain things happening. So I do believe that it's wrong if you are only encouraging your child or someone in your life to pursue their dreams and not necessarily having some alternative things to turn to in case that dream doesn't work out. Because we have to be honest enough and express how incredibly difficult it will be to achieve dreams a lot of times. Because it is, it's very hard, and not everybody achieves the dreams that they have. Some people, a lot of people, more people fail than not. And we have to be realistic about that. We have to be careful that we're not just chasing fantasies as we live. So let me give you some examples. When I was a youth pastor, I used to do this all the time. I try to just be honest with the kids and tell them, and I'm going to do this with my own children as they're 5 and 3 and 1, as they continue to grow and mature, I'm going to be honest with them, because most children in America want to become professionals in some kind of way, and they don't want to be just an average worker. Nobody wants to be average. Like, everybody wants to grow up, and the first thing that comes to mind is a professional athlete, and that's a great dream. In fact, for me, that was a dream of my own as a kid. I always wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. Never had any desire growing up to do anything else. But when you look at the reality of that, there is less than a 1% chance of that ever happening. Of the entire population of the world, in the United States, in the population of the United States, there's less than a 1% chance that you will become a professional athlete in any sport, not just baseball, any sport, less than 1% chance. Now, if your child wants to be an actor, it's less than a 1% chance. And even if they make it as an actor, okay, only 2% of everyone who makes it as an actor for a profession, only 2% of those people can actually earn a living in order to support themselves through that without having to work another job. If your child wants to be a video gamer, it's less than a 1% chance for them to become a professional gamer. It's less than a 1% chance for them to become a professional influencer, because that's a big thing now. YouTuber, TikTok, Instagram, whatever kind of influencing they want to do, less than a 1% chance to do that. And then even to go on from that, if your child wants to be a singer or a musician, it's like, and when I say less than 1%, all of these are like 0.03 to 0.09% of a chance. For your child to become a professional singer or musician, it's a 0.00001% chance that they will actually make it as a professional singer or musician. I mean, the odds are just astronomical, but yet you see so many people who spend their entire youth chasing after dreams that they have less than a 1% chance to achieve. Less than 1% is not great odds. And so just as we talk about this verse, just talking about how a person who chases fantasies has no sense, you know, what are we teaching our children to do? What have we done when we were younger, and what are we teaching our children to do today? You know, we kind of got to be responsible and be realistic in our lives. Like, we can encourage them to dream big, but at the same time, it's also senseless to just chase fantasies. Some people are just, they have God-given talent, and it was always there from the very beginning. Some people can work really hard and achieve it, and others, it doesn't matter how hard you work, it doesn't matter how much time you put into it. Sometimes, some things just are not meant to be, and we are foolish if we try to follow our own fantasies and not just understand that really basically as a believer in Jesus Christ, the only thing that you need to do is follow Jesus. None of the other stuff matters. Yeah, you can serve God on big platforms if He gives you the opportunity. But from my understanding and my experience, the bigger of a platform you have, the harder it is to serve Christ in those ways. People want that, but in reality, it's extremely difficult. So I just wanted to share that data with you. Take it however you want to. You know, it's like when you talk about verse 11 and chasing after fantasies, what exactly does that mean? For me personally, that's the first thing that I thought of because I struggled with that in my own life as a young man and what I was going to do once I got to adulthood. But hopefully that speaks to you and can help you in some way as you guide yourself or your children in listening to this. So the final verse I wanted to talk about rings so true. As it says, wise words bring benefits and hard work brings reward. Now, this is another one of those verses that's a double positive. This is only the second one we've seen so far that is a two positive statements in one verse. And guys, in that, you need to be aware that your words and your actions will determine a lot of things in your life. We have to be so aware of that. And, you know, our actions and our words are so important because that's exactly how we represent Christ. And at the same time, our words and our actions are also the very things that we are going to, that's going to determine so much of the outcome of our relationship with other people, with success in different things, and even the ability to pursue hopes and dreams. So your words and your actions are very important, most important when it comes to following and representing Christ. And that's where we'll stop today. So let me pray with you, and I'll let you go. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for everything you've given us. God, I pray that you would speak into our hearts and minds and remind us that godly character is the most important thing that you are promoting in all the stuff that we're reading right now. You want us to live according to your word and be obedient and have godly characteristics because you want us to experience blessings. And you want us to avoid the curses and the consequences that come with wicked and evil behavior. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. And help us to have your godly character within us. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Thanks again for tuning in for another week. And thank you for being a part of the Graham Chapel family. If you can't tune in this weekend in person at our services at 9 and 11 a.m., we encourage you to catch us on Facebook, YouTube, or the podcast. We love you. We're praying for you. Hope you have a great week.